Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
When I had come down this hill, I had seen this creature cross the road. It would have ripped my locked door from my truck, extracted me from my vehicle, and there wouldn't have been a damn thing I could have done about it.
This thing, I got to notice its eyes. Its eyes was real, real evil, real sinister looking. You know, the look it was giving me.
What are you reporting?
Jesus Christ, you better... Sir? Zia!
Hello?
Get somebody out here.
What's going on now, sir?
That son of a bitch is about 6'9", I don't know.
Do you see him now, sir?
Yes, I'm looking right at him.
Uh-oh.
Welcome to Sasquatch Chronicles, a place where people share their encounters. Let's start the show. Welcome to the show, everyone. Thanks for being here tonight. Got a great show planned for you tonight. Going to be bringing Steve on. And Steve had a terrifying encounter, as far as I'm concerned. Probably one of the scarier encounters. He was actually charged by one of these creatures from the bank. He was in a kayak fishing. And what's interesting about Steve's encounter, Steve never really bought too much into the whole Sasquatch thing prior to his encounter. And he's got a lot of great details with his encounter. And one of the biggest questions I get asked all the time is, what is Bigfoot? What is this thing? And I don't have a great answer for people. I think it's a primate. I don't think it's people. And I don't think it's necessarily a simple monkey out there running around. So what it is, I couldn't tell you. But it's very interesting to hear Steve's encounter, hear the behavior. For all of you listeners who've been listening for a long time, you guys will understand what I'm saying. You hear this behavior over and over and over again in a lot of these encounters, and it's just fascinating. If you've had an encounter and you'd like to be on the show, shoot me an email. My email address is wes@sasquatchchronicles.com. And if you get a chance, check out the website, sasquatchchronicles.com. I try and keep the blog going. I try and post interesting videos for you guys. Anything that I get that I'm allowed to share or that it's okay to share from the person I receive it with, I'll always share it with you guys. Good, bad, or ugly, I'll always share it with you guys. So if you get a chance, check out the website. I'm heading down to the International Bigfoot Conference, so I'm getting the show out tonight. I hope you guys really enjoy it. Let's jump into it tonight. Hey, Steve, thanks for coming on the show. I appreciate you being here. Thank you so much for being on the show.
Yeah, I appreciate you, Wes. Thank you.
And if you would, before we jump into your encounter, I wanted to ask you, we talked a little bit about it prior to coming on the show. What was your take on Sasquatch?
I guess I never really thought about it. If somebody would have asked me about Sasquatch or Bigfoot, I would have kind of laughed at him, to be honest with you. You know, with the way I am. I guess I got to see something to believe it, and I sure as hell did. So, but prior to, yeah, I would have never believed in it, anything like that.
And I know this happened in Florida. We don't have to go into too many details about where it happened in Florida. But if you would, for the audience, just walk them right into the encounter. Tell us what you're out doing, and then if you would, just walk us right into what happened.
Okay, so I guess it's been about, well, Sunday it'll be 4 weeks now, but I had an upcoming redfish tournament. When I go out to scout for schools of fish, I usually take my kayak so my motor doesn't scare them, basically. So this particular morning I got up about 4 a.m., got on the boat ramp and dropped my kayak in the water. Had to paddle for about 45 minutes. On the way out there, typically, you know, we'll see schools of bait fish or just different things. You can hear different things, cicadas, birds, whatever. This morning it was just, it was, as I stated, it was church quiet. I mean, it was weird. As I got to my spot, or I was coming up into my spot, I got to go behind two of these little spoil islands. Out of nowhere, this huge splash behind me occurred, and it literally scared the heck out of me. We have fish down here called mullet bait fish that jump around and stuff like that, but it was a lot bigger. However, we do have manatees, and the manatees are plentiful in this area. And I thought, well, maybe I, you know, spooked a manatee or something. It was just. The splash just came out of nowhere. It was pitch black. There's no lights from the city. There's really nothing. There's two radio towers at NASA that kind of light up a little bit of the water, but that's about it. I didn't think much of it after that. You're gonna have to excuse me here because I'm getting that chill again.
You're good. Take your time.
I continued to paddle on, and it just. Like I said, everything just seemed different, quiet. I felt like I was being watched, or, you know, that feeling where your hair stands up on the back of your neck and you get the chills or what have you. And I have heard about these men in black. Like I said, I was fishing right by NASA property where it's clearly marked every 50 or so feet with channel markers stating that you cannot enter NASA property, blah, blah, blah. And I thought, well, maybe I crossed over by mistake. And my buddy had once told me about these guys called Men in Black that come out of nowhere once you cross over that property, especially after 9/11, to see what the heck you're up to. But nobody's really heard from about that since the space shuttle program has gone away. So anyway, I realized that I was at least a mile away. Didn't really pay much more mind to it that, you know, at that moment and just continued about my business. Well, the fish that I fish for, the redfish, they tend to school up and they run up and down the banks looking for shrimp and crustaceans and such. So I get behind the island and I'm right against the shoreline, probably 20 feet off. I hooked the fish. Everything was good. Light was coming up. Completely forgot about what I, you know, had felt earlier about the splash and such. And once I got into this fish, I got to the side of the boat, and as I was taking the spoon out of its mouth, this smell. And when I say smell, it was the most horrifying, horrific, disgusting. There's no words that can describe this smell. You know, for 3 months now, it's been 100 plus degrees here with the humidity or heat index or what have you. And I'm thinking, okay, well, it's got to be a dead animal, something rotting. I released my fish and I'm like, man, I can't stick around here. I mean, I was dry heaving. It was that bad. Excuse me again. Boy, this is tough. As I got that smell, I decided I was just going to get the heck out of there. And I probably took 3 or 4 paddle strokes, and I jumped a bunch of pigs. I say I jumped them, meaning I hit my paddle hit the water, and these pigs started running, wild hogs, making this commotion that, excuse me once again. They, you know, running down the bank, the shoreline, the water, just trying to get away from me is what I thought. And as soon as they took off running, this scream came from nowhere. And when I say scream, once again, I don't know how to describe it in words. It was the most horrific. I want to say it's we have Florida Panthers, and I've actually heard one snarl or whatever you call it. But it was almost like a snarl like that, but with a deep growl that shook my insides to the point that I was, I mean, shaking sick. And these trees, these palm fronds and these trees were just shaking like crazy. And when I say I'm 20 feet off the shoreline, this was maybe not even 10 feet, if 10 feet, onto the shore. These trees and everything was just shaking like crazy. I mean,
And I know the sun's starting to come up at this point.
Yeah, it was just daylight, and I could see him shaking. And I was just sitting there in this kayak with, like I said, I don't know if I pissed myself. I don't know. I had to pick my jaw up. And what this screamer, growler, whatever it was so intense that I honestly have no recollection of what happened really after that moment, other than I'm sitting there staring at these trees shaking, and I remember seeing this palm frond. And like I said, this happened, you know, 4 weeks ago Sunday. So I'm trying to, you know, still gather all my thoughts about this, because trust me, I don't want to believe this actually happened to me. But this face came from behind this palm frond and sat there and stared at me for probably 30 seconds. It just continued. I mean, the look on its face, I can't tell you. And then with the shaking of the trees and everything else, out of nowhere, this thing charged or ran towards me or the water, or I don't know if there may have been a pig in between us. I'm pretty sure I would have seen a wild hog, you know, from 20 feet away. But it ran towards me at a rate that I can't even explain. It startled me so much. I have a sit on top kayak with a high seat, a raised seat, 11 inch seat, that I mean, it stunned me where I fell off the back of my kayak. I laid in the water because I honestly had no idea what to do. This thing stopped probably 3 feet in the water, which would have taken it, I would say, maybe 15 feet from me, if that. And I raised my paddle, like I was talking to you earlier, you know, going through survival school and the Coast Guard and all that. I mean, you have that fight or flight, and typically you fight, but in this case, I couldn't. I was frozen with fear. The only thing I could think of was basically, you know, holding my paddle up. I remember guys telling me, I'm not a hunter or nothing like that, but they say if you ever come across a bear, make yourself look as big as possible. I held my paddle up in the air, and I'm screaming at this thing, go away, bear, go away. And it stopped. It just completely stopped right there in front of me. Stared at me for a second and then walked away, or turned around and walked back towards the woods. As it walked away, it turned and stared at me again. And this look of, I just want to kill you. but it didn't. It, you know, I want to say it was human, but it wasn't. It had, you know, all the I don't want to say characteristics, but all the emotions of being human, and but it wasn't.
Yeah, no, I've heard that before. Can you describe to the audience what you saw in details?
Yeah, I can actually. Like I said, I could. I probably stared at this thing total of at least a minute. I mean, it seemed forever, but it was probably, I'm guessing, 7 foot tall. I'm 6 foot. I weigh 200 pounds. This thing was probably, I would say, 350. I've never had to judge something like this, but just, I mean, my best educated guess would be that it was completely hairy, fur. I would say almost a blackish brown, the face. That's the one thing I won't forget. Now, like I said, I didn't believe about any of this stuff. I searched online after this happened, and I saw, you know, all these other pictures and stuff, but it didn't have canine teeth. It had a huge, huge mouth, but it was just like normal teeth, but this wide mouth. Its nose looked like a man's nose, flat. But the one thing that got me was like the forehead and the chin were almost at the same, or the furthest out point, they would have been even, I guess is what I'm trying to say. The eyes, there was no eye shine. Their eyes were black. There was no eye whites. It was just black. The skin was like I had the best way I can say it is my brother had shot a deer up in northern Wisconsin and he sent down the hide for me to put in my bar, and it was like the tanned leather side or the tan side of the hide. It was like a leather, but it was darkish gray. The face from like the cheekbones, which matched a man's cheekbones, just a little bit wider, had hair, long hair, like a biker's beard, I guess you would say. The forehead had a lot of wrinkles, like if you were making a pissed off face or something, you crinkle up your forehead. It was bald on top of its head, and the sides of it, you know, from his ear length down was real long hair. It almost flowed into almost like what you could call a mane on a lion or something like that. But just his gestures, his facial expressions, its body movements, whatever, it was human. I mean, it did everything. I mean, it methodically thought about things. It I don't know how else to describe it. It was human, but it wasn't human. It's absolutely insane.
Yeah, no, and I can understand that. Like you and I were just talking about earlier, you get that from a lot of people. The emotions that these things have, you know, the way they act, the way they kind of frown or show emotions is very human-like. I've had many witnesses say that. And the balding part, I think, is interesting because I've had a few witnesses on that have described that. They said it had long hair, it was kind of flowing like a rocker, but at the top of its head, it looked like it was bald. What did you think this thing was? I mean, as you're looking at it, what's going through your mind? And it's charging you, you're in the water, and it's now come out to the water. And it's like I told you before, I've had many reports of them swimming, so I don't think the water bothers them too much. But what's going through your mind at this point?
I don't know if there was anything other than survival at that point. I'm probably 100% sure I can say I wasn't thinking of what the hell this is. I'm thinking about how am I going to survive at that moment. Now that I've had 3 weeks to ponder this and have an anxiety-filled last 3 weeks almost to the point where I can't function. I mean, it's crazy. But, you know, like I said, I've done some research, and I've often wondered about NASA property. I know back in the I don't know if it was the 50s or the 60s. Like I said, I don't follow any of this stuff, but I know they launched some chimpanzees up in space or whatever. And I'm thinking, well, maybe it's just a monkey that got it loose from NASA, you know, because I'm so close to NASA property. But then, like I said, once I saw it, it wasn't a monkey. It wasn't human, but it wasn't a primate. It was something different. I don't understand. I don't have the understanding, I guess, of what an actual Bigfoot is or what a Sasquatch is or if there's a difference, or what a skunk ape is but this was so real, so human-like, but yet the strength and the power that it showed to take a, whatever, 10-foot palm tree and shake it like it's nothing. I can't answer that question honestly. I now believe that there's something a lot bigger, badder than a human being that lives here in Florida. that's the best answer I can give to your question.
There's definitely something bigger and badder out there than us. And I think when you run into it, you realize that really quick that we're not the biggest, baddest thing out there. It's interesting that it's on the NASA property. You know, I don't think it's a monkey that got loose. Like you said, it didn't look monkey-like, but even the monkeys, man, they don't get to be 7 foot tall and built like a brick house. You know what I mean? They just don't. And so it turns and starts walking away. The part that I find interesting, so it turned back and looked at you before it actually walked off. It was a look of disgust. Is that the look it was giving you, or was it like, I mean, what was going through your mind when it stopped to look back at you?
When it turned and walked, I say walk, but it wasn't like it was walking. It was, I don't want to say floating or what have you, but it's like a locomotion. I mean, it was just crazy. But then it turned and looked, and I don't want to say, the look of the I'm going to kill you went away. It was like, almost like I was looking at him going, oh my God, what the hell are you? It was looking at me going, oh my God. Like, I can't believe I just did this. It was more, I don't want to say embarrassment look on its face, because I don't know what that would actually look like, but it was more of a what are you and what are you doing here type of look. And that's the thing that, you know, that's where I said it's more human, but it's not human, because it did show, I mean, it does sprinkle its forehead. It did blink. It did, you know, open its mouth. It did have that, not a grin, but a grimace on its face. And that's why I was always wondering, did it, you know, was it hunting me? Did it stalk me down this whole shoreline that, you know, is probably a mile? Or, you know, was it hunting those pigs that I jumped? I don't know.
I think it's interesting that you heard the splashes of the rocks, or not of the rocks, you heard the splashes, you know, prior to actually seeing anything. And it makes me wonder if it was throwing stuff at you as you were kind of going down the shoreline and followed you. I don't know that it necessarily was hunting you. Again, I'm speculating. I mean, you'd probably answer this better than I could, Steve. But I don't know that it was necessarily hunting you. It sounds like you interrupted what it was doing. And it's like I told you, I've had so many witnesses on the show. The two things I've learned, A, they're very territorial, and B, they have very short tempers, almost childlike in throwing tantrums when they throw a tantrum. You know, as this thing was shaking the palm brushes at you and screaming at you, did it charge you after you fell out of the kayak?
No, that's what caused me to fall out. I was watching this thing, and like you're saying, it was throwing a temper tantrum. It was like a two-year-old that couldn't get the toy at Walmart it wanted. I mean, throwing itself around. And anything it could grab, it was throwing stuff and shaking trees. And that's when it stopped. I mean, as quickly as it started, it stopped. Like, it gained its composure or what have you. And that's when I saw its face, and it sat there and stared at me. I mean, it moved that palm frond. I mean, for I can't see a bear sitting there and move a palm frond to the side so he can see what's going out in the water. That's when he stood up, or I don't know if he was sitting or crouching or if he was standing. I can't say that, but that once he, I mean, it was, I say 30 seconds. I don't know exactly how long it was, but once he stopped staring at me, he charged. And when I say charge, I mean, it was quicker than anything I could ever explain. And I'm 20 feet off the shoreline, and I don't even know what I did, to be honest with you, but I literally fell out of the seat of my kayak, flipped over the backside of my kayak. I laid down in the water, held onto the side of my kayak, and looked over to see if this thing was still coming at me. It probably went 2, 3, maybe 4 feet in the water and stopped. And it didn't do anything except for look at me. And that's when I held my paddle up and started screaming, go away, bear, go away, because I didn't know what else to do. I mean, I feel silly saying that, but I mean, I'm not a fearful person. I don't fear very many things. And like I said, I fear God and my mother, and that's about it. but this thing put the fear of both of them in me. And that's when he charged.
Yeah. And I think it's interesting when you said it walked off, like it floated. It's interesting. In my own encounter, I know my brother described it as floating. Not floating, not like a good, but just smooth like. I guess you use the term floating for being very smooth like, almost like it's not touching the ground. Almost it's. I just had a gentleman I was talking to the other night, Kane, and he talks about seeing two of them running in a single file line, And he said what was weird about it is it was like they were just floating. He goes, there was no up and down motion. There was no, it was very smooth. It was very effortless the way these things were going. And I think he said in his encounter, he assumed they were running about 40 miles an hour when he saw them. And he was shocked how fast they could run and how fast they could move and how smooth they could move. What's interesting about your encounter, though, is the emotions on this thing's face. And that's the thing I think a lot of people don't capture from a lot of encounters when people actually see them is the emotions that these things give off. They can give off a surprised look. They can give off a pissed off look. They can give off a curious look. And that's, you know, when you talk to a lot of hunters who have them in their scopes, that's the main thing they'll say is it had emotions like a person. It wasn't a person. It looked like a person, but it wasn't a person. But it had emotions. It had human emotions. And most of the time, hunters can't pull the trigger when they see these things. So what happens next in the encounter? It turns, it's giving you, it's kind of looking back at you. What does the creature do next? What do you do next?
As it walked off the water, it turned around and looked at me. And then just as casually as it could, just walked back into the woods like it was nothing. These woods on these shorelines, I mean, it's palmetto on the front side, I guess, and then it goes into oak and cypress or what have you all the way back in, and it gets so thick you can't see. It's all covered in vines. I jumped back on my kayak, to be honest with you, as quickly as I could, as soon as it turned its back, and I don't think I've ever paddled as quickly as I did. I don't remember any of it. I drove home, got back to the house, and literally laid down in bed. I was so sick. My insides hurt. Not to be disgusting or whatever, I had no control over any of my body functions. My wife came in, looked at me, and said, "What is wrong with you? You're pure white. You're clammy." I just told her I'm sick. Please leave me alone. And I've tried to deal with it ever since. For 3 weeks now, I have been terrified. I go to bed at night. I see this thing's face. I don't sleep. I don't eat. I've never been a drinker, a big drinker, what have you. I'm tending to started to drink a lot to try to go to sleep because I do work 13, 14 hour days. I have a buddy that's in the FWC. He's an FWC officer, and I wanted so badly to reach out to him, but I don't want to be ridiculed. I mean, I want to go about my life, but now, you know, in the last few days, and this is the weird thing about it. I know when you asked me, are you ever going to go back there? I actually have to go back in a couple of weeks to fish another tournament. I have this overwhelming feeling like I'm being drawn back to this area. I am so petrified to go there, but it's like I need to because I want to know what I saw. I want to make sure it wasn't a dream. It wasn't a fantasy. It wasn't anything other than what it was. I know it's the truth. I know what I experienced, but it's just this overwhelming feeling of wanting to know or to have the experience again to actually make sure, I guess. I'm reaching for words again.
No, you're right. And that's really what a lot of people go through. I mean, everyone that's had an encounter, I can honestly say almost every one of them, they have that same feeling. You go through that of God, am I crazy? Did I actually see that? And then you have this feeling of like, well, maybe I should go back because maybe I didn't see what I thought I saw. But deep down, you know what you saw, and that's where the struggle is. I think it's so far outside of the box in our own realities for people. That's why this show, I love this show. I love talking to people because it's so far out of your normal person's reality. It's this big joke. Aha, you saw Bigfoot. Aha, you saw Bigfoot. Well, you know, take a walk in someone's shoes who's actually seen them and then tell me it's a joke and then laugh about it. And then let's hear your Harry and the Hendersons jokes once you actually see one of these things, because it is terrifying. And it's like I told you, most encounters are not happy encounters. I hate to break it to the hippies out there, but most encounters are not really happy encounters. These things are territorial. They have very short tempers. And are every one of them going to come at you like that? No. I think sometimes curiosity gets the best of these things. But I think in your situation, I think you were in real danger. I think it was pissed off you were there. It probably was hunting those hogs. And it felt like, you know, it's two predators. Watch two predators in an area of the forest and see what happens. They'll generally fight. I think that these things see us as a predator. And so when another predator comes in the area, they want to make that thing leave. I think the fact that you, when you were out of your kayak and you were screaming at this thing, it probably made it stop and think, this guy's not afraid of me. What is he, you know? And I think that's probably what saved your life, is the fact that you fell out of your kayak, you held your paddle in the air, and you started screaming at this thing. Probably saved your life.
Yeah, I don't want to think like that, you know, of course, but, you know, after thinking about it, this thing, like I said, that look on its face, I've never come across an angry bear, I've never come across an angry Florida panther, none of that stuff, but this thing, I cannot describe the look on its face. It was the scariest thing I think anybody can ever witness, is to see basically your life flash before you. I knew at that moment, I do remember this, and I'll leave that part of it alone because I'll get pretty emotional when it comes to that. But I remember thinking at one point when all this was going on, I hope it bites me hard enough to kill me on the first bite, because I did not want to ever feel pain of being eaten by something. And that's how horrible this experience was. I literally prayed that it killed me with one bite. And you know, you can face a man and with a gun or a knife or what have you. That's nothing compared to this. I mean, this is I'm sorry for getting a little emotional here, but yeah, that was I remember that thought, and that's the thing that stuck with me throughout this whole thing, is how close I could have been to dying. And that at 44 years old with four kids and a beautiful wife and a great life, I mean, I didn't want to go at that time, you know, but if I had to, just please bite me with one bite and make sure I'm dead.
Yeah. I don't blame you for feeling that way. How was the creature proportioned? Was it proportioned like a man or more like an ape, as far as like arm length and just how it was proportioned? How would you describe that?
It was a man, but a huge, huge buff man. I can't tell you, you know, the diameter across its chest, but it was built. It was hugely stocky, I guess you would say. I can't tell you, you know, about its arms. I don't know the length of its arms. I can't tell you how big its feet were or anything like that. I was more concentrating on its face to see what its next move was, but the mass, I would say, if I had to guess, I would say 36 inches to maybe 40 inches across the chest. Its head was smaller than it should have been for its body. I guess, you know, one thing that always flashed through my mind is, if you ever remember the rock group Twisted Sister, if you look at Dee Schneider when he pulled his hair back, the lead singer, that's what its forehead looked like. If that makes any sense at all.
Yeah, it does. Kind of receding at the top.
Right, and how his chin sticks out, it almost looks like that. But, a lot bigger, of course, but its mass was, like I said, maybe 40 inches across. But his head looked kind of small for its body, but he had so much hair coming off his cheeks. I remember that hair from his cheeks. I guess when he charged, I saw that hair kind of like flow backwards. And it almost looked like he had a mane, like a lion's mane. But I can't tell you if his chest was hairy. I just remember seeing a mass. And maybe that'll come back to me. I don't know at this moment. But like I said, I know it was probably 7 foot tall, maybe a little bit taller. I know the stump that it was standing by. And if I ever do get the courage to go back, I can probably measure off my own self at that area. But there's a stump there that I typically fish off of. That's my starting point, and that's right where it was. You know, like I said, I can't tell you about its arms. I just remember its face, and it looked like an old man. It really did, but just a lot bigger and it wasn't frail. It wasn't, you know, like an old man. It wasn't, it was human, but it wasn't human. I don't know how else to describe it.
No, I think you're doing a good job at describing it. It's it fits a lot of descriptions I get, and the behavior fits a lot of the behaviors I get. You know, are these things godless? Are all of them godless killing machines? No. But I do think people disappear. I think that these things snap, and they have very short tempers, and they're built like killing machines. And so if they get a hold of you, that's it. Game's over. And I really think that it was coming for you. For it to get down into the water, come out in the open, come down into the water, I really think that you were in some serious, serious danger. I think if you would have just started swimming away, I think it would have ran you down.
Yeah, I believe you. I don't want to, but yeah, I do. I mean, that's there's no other reason. You know, I guess, you know, if they call bluff charges, it spooks somebody away or what have you, but one thing I never even considered is something that you had said that, you know, once you start running, you become prey. You're no longer a predator. That makes a lot of sense. I don't know, like I said, I don't know how I'm going to deal with it when I have to go back, but I do have sponsorships that I do have to fulfill, and I do have to go back. And I'm kind of curious, but then I don't want to be, you know, that, you know, curiosity killed the cat type of person either. So I want to know what it is.
Yeah, and that's the question everyone always has is, what is it? That's my biggest question, is what is this thing? And, you know, a lot of people, when they – I know everyone's seen the Patterson-Gimlin film, and I think a lot of eyewitnesses prior to having encounters, that's what they anticipate seeing, is a Patterson-Gimlin film. And I can tell you, 9 times out of 10, that's not what people see. It's very different than what they actually see. I just think it's interesting, its behavior, the way it came after you, the way it projected itself. And it's fascinating, too, that how human it looked in the face. You know, it's like you and I were talking prior to when we went on the air. On the East Coast, I hear that a lot. I hear that a lot more than anywhere else than on the East Coast. I hear what I ran into looked, it wasn't human, but it looked very human-like. And the other thing you mentioned was their faces are kind of flat when they turn to the side. They don't have, you know, like we as humans, when we turn and you get a profile of someone, you see the chin, you see the forehead, you see the nose sticking out. And the fact that when you said it, you know, the forehead and the chin were basically level. Well, on a human, they're not level. Your chin sticks out more. The forehead pops out more. I feel for you, man. I know what it's like to try and go to bed at night. I know what it's like to try and drink yourself to sleep. I know what it's like to feel like you can't really tell anyone because people are going to think you're crazy. But you'd be surprised. There's a lot of people out there that have ran into these things and don't have the courage that you have, Steve, to come on the air and talk about it. They just don't. I for every show that I do, I've probably spoken with 10 to 15 people for every show that someone hears. So 2 shows a week, I probably speak to about 30 people a week. That's probably about average. And most of those people don't want to come on the air, but they need to get it off their chest. And not that I want everyone to come on the air. I understand that very much so. But the point I'm trying to make is you almost have to tell someone to kind of feel like a weight's been lifted without having someone go, you're nuts. What were you smoking? What were you drinking? What were you, you know what I mean? And your descriptions are right on, man. Your descriptions are right on.
Yeah, and that's just it. I mean, like I said, I've heard of Bigfoot, of course, you know, but I've never looked it up on the internet. I never paid no mind to it. I honestly, living this close to NASA, yeah, I believed in UFOs or heard about UFOs. I don't know if I believed in them or whatever, but that's about it. I mean, I guess when we were talking earlier, I want to tell people that this is real. I believe it's real. I've faced this thing 15 feet away from me. I don't know what it is. I mean, I don't know what a Bigfoot is. Like I said, I don't know what a Sasquatch is or a skunk ape or any of this stuff I just found out about. All I know is this thing was a human, but it wasn't human. And it was 15 feet away from me and scared the living bejesus out of me is the best I can say. And, you know, if there's any naysayers out there, and, you know, you had mentioned earlier, how come there's no photos and this and that? Well, I can say there's no way in hell, when you're facing something like this, that I had a GoPro on my kayak. I had my iPhone on my kayak. I have a flare gun on my kayak. Those were the last things I could have possibly thought of. The only thing I was thinking about is how the hell am I going to stay alive? So when people say, you know, why isn't there pictures? Why isn't there this? Get into this situation and tell me if you're going to find a camera real quick, pull it out and take a picture of this thing charging at you at the most insane rate of speed I could ever imagine. I mean, this thing, it probably took four steps maybe to close 20 feet. I mean, it was that quick. It was on me, and there's nothing you can do. There's absolutely nothing. Where I got the strength to raise the paddle, where I got that thought from, I don't know. I don't know if it was my time in the Coast Guard, if it was my survival school training. I don't know. I remember somebody, it popped in my head, make yourself as big as you possibly can and start screaming. And that's the only thought you have, because it happens in milliseconds. It's not a half-hour ordeal, this thing strolling down the beach coming to, you know, shake your hand. This thing was coming to eat me. And you do what you got to do, and that's all I could have done. I mean, I would have loved to have a picture of it. I would love to have, you know, the pictures of the one picture I saw of a swamp ape or gorilla, whatever they call the thing down in Central Florida here, that looked like an orangutan to me. I don't know. That looked nothing like what I saw. And this thing walked on two legs. It ran quicker than I've ever could even, like I said, imagine. And it had human expressions, almost, you know, just disgust and embarrassment and, you know, who the hell are you? And it moved its lips. It didn't really have lips, but it moved where you could see its teeth sometimes. And it moved branches to stare at you. And it studied me. And just as I was doing back to him, I mean, I don't know, Wes, this is pretty crazy.
I think that people understand that. I mean, you get your armchair quarterback that says, why didn't you get a picture of it? Well, you go sit in a kayak and have something come screaming at you and charge you. And let's see you take a picture of it. You know, you're thinking survival at that moment. And you're right. You live from millisecond to millisecond at that moment. You're not really, your mind is, what is this saying? Am I going to survive? Is this thing going to kill me? What is this thing again? The last thought that goes through your head is, I'm going to take a picture. You know, you even had a flare gun. You know, you could have pointed that flare gun at it, but that's not what's going through your mind at that point. I mean, until you've had an encounter, no one has the right to come up and say, well, why didn't you do this? Why didn't you do this? Why didn't you do that? I hear that a million times a day with my own encounter. Why didn't you guys do this? Why didn't you guys do that? Well, go back there and live in that moment and then tell me what you're going to do. I guarantee you'll do nothing of what you're talking about. There's no pictures.
Yeah.
There's no,
exactly.
You're trying to survive. You're trying to survive at that point.
Yeah. I mean, it's the most frightening thing I've ever experienced. You know, like I said, I got to go relive it again in 2 weeks, and hopefully he went about his business and we don't ever have to meet again. And, you know, we'll see what happens.
Yeah. And if you're not armed, if you don't have a gun, I'd take that flare gun and I'd point it at it. Like I was telling you before, I've had people in the military tell me, if you don't have a weapon, take your camera out, take your phone out, point it at them, and they will back down because they're not really, I don't want to go too much into it, but they're not really sure what a gun, camera, phone. Take an object out and point it at them, and they'll back down because I think they're unsure of what your intentions are. You know, it's like I said, these things are crazy. I think, and I think they're very short tempered, and I think they're very territorial. But in the same breath, they're not stupid. You know, just like how you were screaming and yelling at this thing, if that would have been a grizzly bear, it would have mauled you. It would have came in into that water and had its way with you. It kind of shows you how intelligent these things are. You know, it probably stopped and thought, this guy's not scared of me. This guy's screaming at me with the paddle. If I go out there, who knows, you know, and I'm just speculating at this point, but I hear encounters like that where they're smarter than most people realize. They're not just going to jump into a fight. And then what's interesting is you'll hear encounters like yours, Steve, and the way they act, but they act completely different when there's two to three people. They almost conceal themselves more. When it's one person, people get this type of encounter to where they'll come out. I guarantee if there had been two or three of you, you probably would have never seen it. It probably would have never showed itself. You probably would have got the rocks thrown at you. You'd have got the stink. It would have, you know, maybe screamed at you, but it wouldn't have come out the way it came out. And I firmly believe that.
What do you think that, you know, the one thing that, of this whole experience was when it moved that palm frond just to sit there and stare at me, like it was hiding behind it, and it just moved it to the side and just sat there and stared. Do you think it was like sizing me up, or do you think it was just as curious as I was, or scared? Or, I mean, I know you don't have one in your garage, as you said, that you study, but that's the thing. It just sat there and stared, almost like if you see something going on across the street from your house and you open up your front window and you peer out, you know, the shades or what have you. I mean, that's what it reminded me of.
You know, these things remind me of people in the sense, I'll tell you a quick story. I used to be a bouncer in Vegas. And what I learned from bouncing in Vegas is 99% of the time, humans, guys in general, will run their mouths. The minute you call them out on it, or the minute they realize that you're not opposed to throwing them a beating, they will back down. 99% of the people out there will back down the moment you hold yourself up, the moment you let them know, I'm not playing games, I will throw you a beating. 99% of the time, people will back down. And I hate to compare it, I hate to sound like a hillbilly, but that's kind of how I compare it with these things. I think it was sizing you up. I think it saw that you were alone. It was pissed off. It was in territorial mode. And like I said, they have very short tempers. And I think it was coming out to, I think it was coming out to get you. It was pissed off. I don't know if you threw off its game on hunting. I don't know if you interrupted something it was doing, but it was pissed and it was going to come probably kill you. Like any other primate, the moment you stand up and you start screaming back at it, I think it thought twice about coming out there. Even though it would have been a walk in the park for this thing to come snap your head off like a little Tootsie Roll. It would have been nothing for it to kill you. I still think that these things, cautious in those situations, especially when you stand up, you start screaming back at it. You have something in your hand, obviously a paddle, and even though you're in the water, you're yelling at it. I think it realized at that moment that it's now a fight. You're not prey. You're a predator, and this is going to be a fight to the death. And it might get injured coming out there, like it was. You know, I think that it thought twice about coming out after you. And I think just like any other primate, you know, gorillas do the same thing. They'll do this thing where they'll bluff charge you. And if you've ever even watched some of those YouTube videos, I don't know how people stand still when you got this huge gorilla coming after you. The interesting part is if you just stand there, they'll veer off from you. They won't actually attack you. But if you run, they're going to get you. Because again, at that point, you become prey. I think it realized at that point you were a predator. You weren't going anywhere, and you're screaming back at it, and it got it to back off. I mean, that's my take on it. I really think that you were in some serious danger, and the fact that you didn't back down, it made it think twice about coming out there.
That's making me think now about going back out in 2 weeks, but I mean, I've fished there for 20 years, and I've never had anything even remotely dangerous out there. So the chances of me ever seeing this thing again are slim to none, I guess, but you know, my thoughts are running crazy right now, and it is what it is. I mean, it happened. I'm glad. I'm so appreciative to you for getting back to me and you know, spending an hour on the phone prior and you know, sharing your experiences and such. And when you don't believe in something or something like this doesn't exist, and then all of a sudden it exists, it's the hardest thing to ever comprehend. And, you know, I still don't know how to tell my wife and kids and my friends, and maybe I never will. I don't know. But, you know, just allowing me to get it off my chest has been a huge relief. And that's the thing that you know, I very much appreciate from you.
No, well, thank you, man. I appreciate you saying that. Like I said, I can relate, you know, after my own encounter. I did the same thing. I went and sat on the bed, and I remember my wife at the time was like, "You look like a ghost. Like you've just seen a ghost. You're white as..." And I was sick. I mean, I couldn't stop my knees from shaking. I know exactly what you mean. when you say that, like, he had no control over my bowels, or I think that we fall into shock because this thing really shouldn't exist. And I used to beat up science all the time. They say, well, why don't they listen to my show? Why don't they do this? Why don't they do that? And I came to the realization that even though us that have seen them, you realize that these things really shouldn't exist. They really shouldn't exist. And what they are, I couldn't tell you. They're not really, I always joke on the show that it's a damn dirty ape, but they're not really apes and they're not really people. But what they are, I couldn't tell you. I don't really know what this thing is. It's a primate of some kind, but I couldn't tell you what kind of primate it is. But their behaviors are very across the board what you experienced. There's thousands of people that have experienced that. I've had several of them on the show. They've, you know, the same behavior that you're describing is the same behavior that these things do. They just do. And that's what always burns me when, maybe I'm grumpy today, but that's what always burns me about people that, you know, say, I used to call them flute players. I've lightened up on that, but that say you can go out there and pet them on the head, give them an apple. It doesn't work with these things. You're not going to do that. You're in serious danger if you're that close to one of these things. They don't play ball like that with people. They want really nothing to do with people, and I think they view us as predators, and they really want nothing to do with us. And if they do want anything to do with us, it's the same situation that you were in. That's what you get when you get too close to these things. That's the type of behavior you can expect when you're too close to these things, or if you piss one of these things off. That's what you can expect. And it's, you know, go as far as you going back there, I would go back armed. I don't know if you have a gun or not, but I would go back armed.
Yeah, on my big boat, I do keep a gun, and that's just for my safety because we do run offshore here in Florida, and, you know, we do have pirates out there. So, yeah, I do have a gun. But honestly, though, Wes, I don't think, you know, seeing this thing's face, I mean, I don't know if I could, even if I had it, there's no way I could have pulled the trigger. This thing was human, but it wasn't. So, I mean, but if it comes down to saving my life, yeah, I guess, absolutely.
Well, your chances of running into it again are slim to none. You're better off playing the lottery as far as running into it. However, if you do run into it and it comes at you like that again, shoot it. Just empty the clip in the thing. Shoot it. Don't think twice. Shoot the thing. You know, and that's my advice. If it comes at you like that again, shoot it. Aim for the chin. You'll get it in the throat. That's where you want to hit these things. Don't aim for the chest. The structure of these things, well, I won't go into that. Aim for the chin. You'll hit it in the throat and you'll kill it. That's what I would aim for. Aim for that big fat mouth and you'll end up getting it through the neck. Even though they appear that they don't have a neck, they do. And that's what I would suggest to you. Shoot it.
Okay.
And then go back and enjoy your day of fishing. I'm just joking.
Yeah, no, I would have to call the SWC on that one though. And then they'd probably get me for not having a hunting license or something.
Yeah, and again, I would talk to your friend who's in law enforcement. I think you'd be surprised at what some of these guys will say off the record. I was shocked. I've spoken with them off the record, and you'd be amazed at what some of these guys will tell you. It's shocking. It's enough to make you sick, what some of these guys know. But they'll never say it on the air. On the record, they'll say no animal like this exists. People are seeing bears. Off the record, they'll tell you a whole different story about what's out there. And just be safe. You know, like I said, it's terrifying. It will take you some time to get back to sleep. And I'm sure you'll be consumed by it like the rest of us. Anyone who's had an encounter, you say you're drawn back to the area. Anyone who's had an encounter can relate to exactly what you're saying. You want to go back and you want to see it again. Even though it was terrifying, you felt like your life was endangered. Deep down, you want to see it again. You want to make sure you're not crazy and you want to go back and see it. So I think most people who've had an encounter can understand that.
Yeah, that's it. I mean, it's just like it's pulling me back. And I just want to know for sure what it is. And I know more than likely in my lifetime, I'll never know. And it is what it is. I mean, it was an experience that terrified me, and I am now a true believer. I mean, I don't know why I never believed in it before. I guess because they're not supposed to exist. But yeah, it's got me 100% now, and the curiosity level's there. And I just want to find you know, one like on Harry and the Hendersons that I can drink a beer with somewhere, and that'll be all right. But this other one, I don't want nothing to do with that again.
Yeah. No, he's not going to drink a beer with you. Well, be safe while you're out there. And I can't thank you enough for coming on the show and sharing it. It's like I was telling you before. I wish more people would come forward. They're starting to now, but I wish more people would come forward with their encounters and with any evidence that they have. And the more we flood the market with it, the more I think people are going to start raising eyebrows and realize that, maybe these things are real.
Yeah. Well, I do very much appreciate you, Wes, and I'll definitely shoot you an email here in 2 weeks and let you know how it goes.
Thanks, brother.
Thank you, man.
And that's it for tonight, everyone. Remember, if you've had an encounter and you'd like to be on the show, shoot me an email, wes@sasquatchchronicles.com. If you get a chance, check out the website, sasquatchchronicles.com. I will see you guys next time. Have a good night, everyone.
is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At chumbacasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions 18 plus.